This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy from Armature, providing software solutions for conformity assessment, standards, and policy management. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens up the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency may be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Live in the studio, we have George Newstrom, Vice President of Dell Services Public, and Jeff Lush, CTO of Dell Services Federal Government. Good morning, gentlemen. How are you two today?
Doing great, John. Good to be back with you.
Good morning.
Well, I guess anyone who has a browser or reads physical newspaper knows that something's stirring with Dell. They got all these announcements and all these bands going down the street, all kinds of news from Dell. But before we talk about all the new stuff, let's tell us about your background and how both of you wound up working for Dell. George, perhaps you could start off, and you've got quite a distinguished background, but don't take more than a half hour, though, huh?
Well, thank you, John. I'm not sure the word distinguished is correct. But I've been around a little while. I think you and I were together when I was at Lee Technologies, and we talked about data center and growth of data centers and in the IT industry and what that meant. In fact, hopefully that kind of leads into our conversation today about the cloud. I joined Dell about a year and a half ago now, and I'm responsible for the federal government business, the services component of the federal government business. And we're very focused on the issues that the government has, and I know we're going to get into that in the next couple of minutes. It's the issues they have and what the best resolution for those issues are, and the topic I hope we get to very soon is cloud and how that can help the government.
Exactly, and talk about. But first, Jeff, tell us your background, how you wound up at Dell, please.
Sure. So I have about over 10 years at Dell. I just recently came back as the executive CTO for the Department of Veterans Affairs, and I'm the CTO for the Dell Services Federal Government Organization, with our objective of taking that best-in-breed Dell hardware and reputation, putting services and solutions around it, and giving complete offerings to our customers.
Now, I'm like many listeners. When I think of Dell, I think of ordering notebook computers and then ordering servers, and that's kind of what my mindset stuck in. But as we talk about in the break, George, it looks like a team owner got together and decided to put together a winning team slowly and methodically like the Nationals have, and all of a sudden you got a pretty good outfielder, pretty good pitching staff, pretty good bench. And it looks like that's what Michael Dell is. He got a piece of paper and he said, how can I build a good team for the cloud? Is that what's going on here?
Very, very much so. In fact, I think the words that you came up was the dream team
that we're
building right now. And it really goes back to a number of years. Michael and Dell, the brand, I hope and I believe that is very strong in this industry, whether it's government or the commercial world, what we're known for, what we stand behind, and so forth. But a few years ago, if you recall, in 2009, he bought a company called Perot Systems. And it was his first real foray into non-hardware-specific type services. And that's the business that Jeff and I are very much involved in. That's Dell Services Federal Government. So stepping out of the hardware component into serving our clients, our federal government customers, more beyond what they need at their desktop or in their data centers, what they need for their business and their business solutions. And that's what we're talking about.
I have three kids in their 20s, and they don't realize this, but Michael Dell was once a college kid, and he was an entrepreneur, and he tried to figure it out, and he started selling stuff from his dorm room. And so he's not some rich kid who was handed a bunch of money. He fought his way up. And in the mid-90s, or maybe 10 years ago, he said, well, it seems to be a transition away from hardware, and he's looking at putting together a team and serving the federal government. Instead of, you know, do you remember that, Jeff? But I know a lot of listeners don't realize he come from nothing. I mean, he was a poor kid.
Yeah, it's amazing his struggle up. And what was great about what he did was it was all about the customer, right? Customization and building it the way you need to have it built. And that spirit within Dell lives very strong today and is evident in our cloud offering.
And that spirit was, I could always call Dell in Texas and say, well, what's the driver for this video card? And by the way, there used to be video cards. And they'd be there. And that's what I remembered, because I was in the rental business and I could always get service. And I think it's service transitions to software as a service. George, here we go. From service with some guy in a phone center in Texas to software as a service today.
Yeah, very, very true. And if you look at the needs, again, we go back to our customers all the time, the needs that they have, it really is not just one element of it. It's the whole thing from hardware, software, consulting, networks, and so forth that we look at.
And our customers are evolving. They're evolving from widgets to solutions and service level agreements. And I think it's for the best for the federal government and all of our customers.
So, Jeff, in a nutshell, tell us what this bombshell's been that Dell has released their Dream Team.
So just imagine now building upon this great reputation of hardware and software, wrap services around that, and now we're able to offer a dedicated or private cloud, as well as a multi-tenant cloud, all of them compliant with the NIST 800-53 controls that are going to enable ATOs from HIPAA to FISMA to DICAP and others.
So this is, it's almost like a prepackaged solution. You know, back in the day, you'd order this and this and this type of video card and this type of modem and put it all together. And what seems that it's transitioned here is that what you're doing is assembling some kind of a packaged cloud or some kind of a cloud that would fit federal needs easier than picking the individual types of security requirements. So it's more of a combination deal. Is that right?
The cloud offering? Absolutely. And John, if you think about it, what the clients need, and especially government clients now with budgetary issues right now, they need flexibility, expandability, scalability. They need it instantaneously. They don't have time to put out the next RFP, et cetera. They need to buy capabilities that are packaged the way Jeff described them. Much like your telephone system, you can make one call a day or 100 calls a day, and you don't have to put an RFP out to do that.
So scalability is we're talking about here, huh?
Absolutely. Go from the back of a Humvee with a very specialized mission with a dedicated or private cloud. Bring that back into Garrison, plug it into your enterprise, and enjoy and take advantage of all those enterprise capabilities and functionality that the cloud offers. To George's point, right? Give me one VM, give me 100 VMs, whatever it is that you need. Allow our customers to have that flexibility, and it's been a void in our marketplace up till now.
Jeff, let me throw a quote at you, and you can run with it a little bit here. If you investigate cloud and cloud security, some people will say that every cloud implementation is a unique security moving target. Would you agree with that statement?
Well, it is unique in the variables that the agency has. Every agency is a little bit different, but there is a common thread among all of them, and that is called NIST 800-53. And we now see FISMA Low. All of FISMA has been there. We see the Intel community as well as Department of Defense all rallying around this special publication. There's always going to be special stuff and variables that are within each agency that need to be dealt with. But we've designed a compliance framework to handle all of that for our customers.
You know, George, I'm kind of like the Ben Franklin of computers. I've seen everything. Years ago, we talked about SOA, service-oriented architecture. Then it was SaaS, software as a service. And now it's platform as a service, infrastructure as a service. Well, what do all these terms mean? What do they mean for the typical listener?
Well, go back to your computer at home and what you use at home. You used to have to be able to load software. You used to have to read the manual to load the software. Then you took the next step in the network and how you connected it. Now you plug a computer in and it does it all for you. That's what all these as a service really are. You don't have to be the expert on the next capability. All you need to do is learn how to put it in and make it work for your client.
Jeff, do you think this is responding to this recent fact? I mean, if you see what's going on with mobile devices and sensors out there, people in the commercial world say that enterprise data growth is averaging between 40 and 60% a year. So we have govies who can't hire people, their budget's being restricted, and they're being bombarded with increased amount of data they have to handle.
Absolutely. It's going along that road of anytime, anywhere computing. And we as a society are now used to pulling out our phones or our smartphones or our tablets and getting access to information instantaneously anywhere in the world. And that trend is what computing is supposed to be. That's like turning on the electricity, right, when you enter a room. And so we're finally moving in that direction. And this cloud, this as a service format, is enabling us to do that.
Church, I have a friend's got like a 4-year-old girl, and she's playing around with this little iPad, and her dad said something about a browser, and she said, "What's a browser?" I think that it's not even a concept. It's not even a concept of hardware, operating system, application, browser. No, that it's there. It's cloud should be there.
John, there's no difference, and I think you and I can both remember back when you had your first cell phone and you had to find out what area code you were in and you had to log on to that area code, et cetera. You just turn your phone on right now. That's what the technology is that we're talking about as well.
We're going to take a quick break. We can come back, talk more about Dell and the cloud and what this means to federal IT professionals, how it can make their life easier while trying to handle massive more amounts of data. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with George Newstrom, Vice President of Dell Services Public, and Jeff Flush, CTO of Dell Services Federal Government. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we're talking with George Newstrom, Vice President of Dell Services Public, and Jeff Flush, CTO of Dell Services Federal Government, talking about all this hoopla about cloud offerings that Dell has come up with here lately, and they're making a transition to help federal IT people. Jeff, let me just toss this number out at you and see if you agree with it or not. A lot of people have estimated, in fact, in the show, they've estimated that about 80% of the applications that govies are using are legacy systems, and they get people from OMB and the White House twisting their arms to move to the cloud. There's kind of a push and pull here. They know they got to, and they're getting fewer people to do it, and they're getting, you know, more and more data in there. It's a tough spot to be in.
It is a very difficult, difficult spot for most of the agencies with these legacy applications. There's two primary challenges. One is that the applications are so intertwined with other applications within the environment, it's hard to separate them. And so it's not that I take just one. Sometimes I have to take 10 of them because they're all interrelated. The second challenge that you have in this area is the latency between the application and the visual presentation. So moving that to a cloud environment creates a challenge because those systems were never designed to be geographically dispersed. And so it is a challenging time. Although at Dell, there are products that we have, Boomi, Make, and Clarity, that we've designed specifically to reside on top of the Dell Cloud for U.S. government to help our customers address these challenges.
And so you're kind of anticipating this reduction in force as well as increase. It's like reduction force increase. And it's like you're a short order cook and your assistant called in sick and a bus pulls up. George, you ever been a short order cook?
I don't think so.
Not in your career. Let's talk about this software as a service. So what software as a service posits is you use the exact same software infrastructure and platform and reuse different types of code. And I think that's what the kind of the cloud is making the transition to, is that the cloud will allow for infrastructure as a service, and Dell can provide that to add scalability and flexibility. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. And again, I always go back to what we do in our personal lives rather than just our public lives. But you go sit down in your computer and you use some kind of an application that writes letters, that writes books, that writes whatever, versus, I don't know, some of us still remember black and green screens where you had to do all that stuff yourself, all your formatting yourself. Well, software as a service in the simplest form is the same thing. You don't have to do all that work yourself. You don't have to set registers, which you did in the OALC code. It does it all for you. That's the capability that is being built right now at a very, very high level.
You know, Jeff, people talk about scalability, and I'll read some numbers that came out of Network World. What Network World is saying is that by 2017, there will be more mobile internet connections than human beings. And so this tsunami of data, tsunami of information, how can you scale that up? I mean, how can you handle it if you're a federal information professional? I mean, you can't use the existing systems now because they just can't scale.
Yeah, you're going to have to start this migration plan, and many of the agencies are already engaged in that process, and that's going to take years. It's not going to happen tomorrow, but you're going to have to start down that road of migrating those applications, and in some instances, recoding and redeveloping some of those applications to meet this future demand, because you're exactly right. Some of the legacy applications are going to struggle when we get into that anytime, anywhere computing model.
But John, wait a second. As a IT professional, you're working in government right now. It looks like, it sounds like, it feels like an overwhelming task. The first thing we tell our clients, the first thing Jeff probably says when he meets with a client is, what is your current environment? Where are you right now? What are your priorities in moving and doing things different? You do not have to do it all at once. You have to do the things that make the most sense, that have the greatest impact on your agency, and have the greatest impact on the bottom line for your agency.
And the tools that your company is assembling, George, are pretty impressive. Even the people who've been around just 10 or 15 years have heard of SonicWall. They've certainly heard of Quest. They've heard of Wyze Terminals from years ago. Some have heard about RNA Networks. It seems like all these packages are being put together to give federal government professionals the idea, the almost perfect scalability where you can have usage-based pricing.
Yeah. And if you think about it, this is the way that Michael Dell built the company. Instead of us building the building ourselves the next capability, we went out into the market and found the best experts, the subject matter experts in the field that we needed. And we were lucky and we're fortunate enough to be able to acquire ones that we did that have that capability.
Jeff, maybe for our audience, you can distinguish between platform as a service and infrastructure as a service and how those fit in with your offering.
Sure. So there's really three primary categories. You've got infrastructure as a service, which is essentially everything below the hypervisor. So that's your storage, your switches, your servers, things of that nature. And it's providing a virtual environment. Your platform as a service typically is referred to as the environment by which you develop applications. So that's going to be your where your Boomi and things of that nature are going to reside. Then your software as a service is where you actually deliver those applications that you built inside of the platform as a service that reside on top of the infrastructure as a service.
So for application purposes then, I would think that maybe the platform as a service would allow you to develop applications in the cloud. Is that where it fits in?
Absolutely. And then you execute those applications, right, and deliver that service to your customers through a software as a service infrastructure.
And everything is a service. Well, George, what about security here? Is there going to be security going to be built into your offering? Is it going to comply with all the standards, or how's that going to work?
Yeah, within the NIST standards, and Jeff has already referred to them, there is a heavy dosage of the security requirements that are in there. I believe there's 275 control, or maybe a little bit more control requirements that are in there. A significant number of those are security requirements. So when you are in the cloud, you have to meet all those expectations, and you can't do that until the government approves your capabilities.
And Jeff, this is a differentiator here. So we can talk about Michael Dell. Everyone knows, started from the dorm room, sold hardware, making transition to services. But this is a differentiator with your dream team is that a lot of this, you've already gone through the checkboxes and you know what to expect.
We've prepared all of the document templates. There's going to have to be modifications, obviously, because each agency is unique. Although what we've done that is unique in the industry is we've made those these security controls that George spoke of as repeatable controls. So this truly enables an agency, no matter whether that organization could be higher education, for example, that needs some sort of control, FISMA control, all the way up through the Intel community, we pull from that pool of controls that are available, and it truly makes us a more rapid to market, speed to market solution.
You know, a template is a template, doesn't mean anything to me, doesn't mean anything to my listeners. But if a template can help reduce the turnaround from 6 months to 30 days, all of a sudden that template has value, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
And that's the point here.
It's absolutely true. There's a lot of the controls that are shared generically among multiple agencies. We've taken that common denominator and made it repeatable.
So the templates that you have allow for an easier transition. What about there may be some agencies and maybe some customers floating around out there that can't use FedRAMP. What about them?
Yeah, so FedRAMP is just one of the ATOs that you can achieve. Many of the customers will get FISMA low, moderate, or high, or DICAP, or multiple other types of ATOs to operate within their environment. FedRAMP is certainly among those. But they'll continue to use those others as well.
Because I talk about federal IT professional generic, there could be a federal IT professional worried about a tank in the Middle East, and there could be a federal IT professional working with vaccines.gov gov that release vaccine information. So such a range, I mean, what a range of security requirements. I mean, why should vaccines.gov even care about FedRAMP? I mean, they're intentionally trying to expose information for citizens.
Well, FedRAMP has done a great job in making an infrastructure that is a certify once, use multiple times. But in a lot of cases, that may not be applicable. And so the strength of our solution is these controls that we've built, these 275 plus controls, allow us to be very flexible in whatever the customer requires.
And so this means in my world to be going to market quicker, in your world to be reaching a deadline for an agency, wouldn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And our deadlines are just they're as equal to what our clients deadlines are. I sat with a client this morning, one of my very key customers, and he talked about, everyone talks about the sequester. He said, wait a second, I got my budget cut before the sequester, then I got the sequester, and George, I'm about to get the new budget for next year, and guess what? It's worse than the sequester.
Less.
So absolutely, we have to do it in a very timely manner. Jeff talked about it. You have to get started fast, but you don't have to bite the whole apple. You can bite it one piece at a time.
Let's take a break. When we come back, talk more about Dell and this new cloud offering. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have George Newsom, Vice President of Dell Services Public, and Jeff Lush, CTO of Dell Services Federal Government. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have George Newsom, Vice President of Dell Services, and Jeff Lush, CTO of Dell Services Federal Government. Many of my listeners, believe it or not, don't read newspapers, and they don't watch CBS News at 7 o'clock, the way I was taught to when I was growing up, but they read blogs and stuff. Is there a blog that you read, Jeff, that maybe my listeners can benefit from and learn about these cloud terms and everything that you seem to do so well with?
Absolutely. So the blogs that I generally read are actually put out by Dell. Dell Services has a blog. There's a Dell Tech blog. And, I read some other industry-based blogs, but it's a great form of information along with, other social media outlets.
If you want to get to my blog, you go to Google, type in John Gilroy blog. It pops up. George's blogs you read or somebody you respect out there in the cloud world?
No, I'm still a traditionalist, so I stay with the hard copy and stuff.
I got all kinds of listeners. Everyone gets their, I have 10 listeners. They have 10 ways to get information, right. And I can't predict it. Some people read magazines, and I was in a Starbucks here this afternoon. Some young guy under 30 was reading a magazine. I was shocked. But I didn't, maybe it was a sports magazine, but I just didn't, I couldn't put it together. One thing that may shock my listeners is needs for flexibility and scalability that are unanticipated, I mean, I don't know when the next derecho is going to hit. I don't know when the next who knows what's going to hit. And I think agencies have to be able to respond to that. And a solution where one size fits all, well, maybe that's pretty good in 2010. But let me tell you something, buddy, in 2 years, it ain't going to work, is it?
Yeah, so that flexibility and scalability that gives an agency that room to grow with the cloud or to make it what that agency needs for the cloud to be. It's not a one-size-fits-all. That model in technology, we've seen it over the years, ASP and other models, it just hasn't been overly successful. We need that flexibility in order to truly serve customer needs.
And that's why this concept of ATOs fits in, because 10 listeners, 10 different security requirements, 10 different requirements for flexibility and scalability, too.
Absolutely. And you got to build from somewhere. So the trick is, don't always go to ground zero to build the controls. Take something that's repeatable and apply it. It may be 50%, it may be 80%, whatever it is, it's always better than going back to ground zero.
Well, George, you wouldn't be here unless you saw an opportunity that Dell could supply a solution for in the federal government. So tell me more just in general terms where you see this opportunity. Do you think there are agencies there that scratching their heads going, yeah, I don't want to get this and this and this. I want to have a complete solution. Is that where you see the opportunity?
John, absolutely. And let me go back about another 4 years, which is there was a visionary in the United States government, actually. His name is Vivek Kundra. Vivek developed
He sat in that chair.
People do not give Vivek enough credit, in my opinion. But he came up with a 25-point plan. If you look at his plan, it was the little beginnings of the cloud and what he described as the cloud. And one of the things he said was, of the $80 billion federal IT budget, he believed that $20 billion of it was going to go in the cloud. Now, I actually think his number was low. I think it's going to be higher than that, but he was the visionary. Therefore, the opportunities are there in the federal government. Heck, they're there in the commercial world as well. But we're very enthusiastic about what we can offer and what the opportunities are.
The seed you sow is the grass you mow, especially seeding the cloud. So what about federal agencies? Are there certain specific groups that you think, well, Jesus, you guys going to be a good fit maybe with the weather folks, or maybe you're going to be a good fit with the military, or your background at the VA, maybe it's with hospitals. Where do you see the fit for this Dell Cloud solution?
Yeah, so we tried to make the Dell Cloud for U.S. government very compatible with all of the agencies, civilian, DOD, healthcare, as well as higher education, state and local governments, and so on, banking, because what's happening in the industry today, let's face it, our security threats against this nation are not decreasing over time, they're increasing. And these standards that have been established, this NIST standard, as well as others that we support in our cloud infrastructure, are really that solid foundation by which all of these groups are going to be able to protect themselves against those threats.
George, from a high-level perspective here, I think we can assume that most agencies are going to be flat at best for the next 5 years. In fact, there's some agencies that may have their budgets reduced. Right. So if you're in a situation when your budget's being reduced, one option might be a cloud solution. Would you think this might be actually save money for some agencies out there?
Oh, in my opinion, unquestionably is going to save money. Think about the progress we've made on storage. Think about the progress we've made on compute costs and the capabilities that are there right now. The cloud is the next exponential great technological event that's going to happen that will absolutely help agencies do a lot more with a lot less.
You know, Jeff, when I consider going to Europe, I like to talk to people, kind of been to Europe and pick their brains, see where the good restaurants are, where the good places to go, good hotels. And I think when federal IT professionals look at solutions, they maybe look at Dell and go, well, where's Dell been in the real world, the commercial world? And what lessons have they learned? And more importantly, what's in it for me? I mean, Dell got out there, worked with banks and made mistakes. And how can I benefit from this? How can I learn scalability issues from commercial experience that Dell certainly has?
Right. So Dell has a great history of cloud, although not always seen from the eyes of the people that are taking advantage of that cloud service. So we have supplied hardware and software solutions for clouds for many, many years. In fact, at one point, we did 23 of the 25 largest clouds were hosted on Dell hardware. So that experience for years and years, our medical business, our healthcare vertical, which is a very vertical focused cloud offering, does over six billion images annually. That's a huge business. So we've been able to take all of that experience and use it as best practices to avoid some of those common pitfalls that we may find in the future. We're going to still find those, but we're hoping that we're a little better off based on our experiences.
They do surveys, and people my age like to pick up the phone and call someone to get an answer. People who are in their 20s and 30s, they'd like to go online and do everything themselves. They want to manage their whole account, everything, all themselves, and not even speak to another human. And so in your world, in the federal IT world, that might be called self-service management portal, where they would prefer managing themselves. And guess what? That's part of your offering, isn't it?
It is. So let's take virtualization from a few years ago and add on it those components that really make it functional. To George's point of how we reduce costs, reallocate employees to other tasks within the agencies, how do we do that? We do that through automation. And so some of the prime components that you see inside of the Dell Cloud for U.S. government are automation, provisioning, allowing you to come on and literally provision a server or servers in minutes rather than weeks or months, and have all that pre-canned and allocated for our customers.
You know, George, my habit is writing. I write for magazines and whatnot, and I always stumble on this word premises, P-R-E-M-I-S-E-S, premises. I never could spell it right, you know? I think this is part of your offering here, because the initial offering might be an on-premise offering that can transition to a cloud. And if you're comfortable with your cloud being down the hall, well, that could be part of the solution.
Yeah. Your question is so poignant today when we're talking about the issues that are going around in the national security world. There are some agencies that probably probably will not release their data outside of their perimeter, premise, et cetera.
Their building,
and
yeah.
You and I don't want them to release that data. In fact, we want to protect it even more. Then there's a whole bunch that want their data to be released to the public so it can be available for citizens to use, whether it's a GPS data, GIS data, anything that makes sense so they can do their job, both government and the individual, more. That can go on a cloud anywhere, public or not.
Different ATO right there, isn't it?
Absolutely. So as the customers mature and their applications, they get more comfortable. Now, they have the flexibility with Dell to move between this dedicated private that George spoke of inside the perimeter to this multi-tenant environment and move stuff back and forth as they feel comfortable, as their comfort level allows them.
And if there's data that has to be released, and we know this big initiative from the White House, again, of releasing data for citizens to take advantage of, well, that can be done under the auspices of one ATO versus another ATO, where perhaps the military community might be more restrictive.
Absolutely. So different types of security parameters around both of those business models, and also the ability to have traceability of that data, be able to say to an agency, I know exactly where your data has gone, even in a shared resource environment. That's a huge concern for many of our customers.
We'll have to take a break and come back, talk more about Dell's new cloud offering and how it can help my listeners. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have George Newstrom, Vice President of Dell Services Public, and Jeff Lush, CTO of Dell Services Federal Government. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have George Newstrom, Vice President of Dell Services Public, and Jeff Lush, CTO of Dell Services Federal Government, talking about this big splash, this big news announcement, where Dell has put together a cloud offering that's going to make life easier for many of my listeners, federal IT professionals. And one aspect of this little detail that my listeners have to worry about is something called the plan of action and milestones. Now, what in the world is that anyway, Jeff?
So it's the poem, right? And basically what it does is sets out for you where you need to make some improvements in your environment. And it's all part of that automated process that we offer in our compliance framework. So the POEM may discover something that changed in the environment. Excuse me. The compliance framework will discover something that changed in the environment and automatically generate that POEM.
So rather than getting a little Excel spreadsheet and come up with a checklist yourself, this is part of the offering where they don't have to worry about one of 10,000 things.
Absolutely. And it's a key component to the approving authority for the ATO as well, so that we can show that history and document and automate all of that process.
So that compliance checkbox is checked off. That's
very much
the important part. Great. Many of my listeners are active in Twitter. My Twitter handle is @RayGilray. Now, Jeff, does Dell have any Twitter presence or...
They have a huge Twitter presence, the @Dell, and I believe @DellServices. But if you just search for the Dell, you're going to come up with several of those Twitter handles.
You know, George, many of my listeners are listening, scratching their heads, going, well, geez, that George guy, when did he get his first computer? What kind of smartphone does he have? So what I do is I give every one of my listeners a 10-question test to see if they're card-carrying nerds or not. Let's see if you can whoop old Jeff here on this one. First question, how old were you when you bought your first PC?
I didn't personally buy a PC. My company gave me one, and it, if you the P part of it is wrong,
it was just a C.
No, the P part of it is wrong because it was a brick.
A brick. Wow.
It took a truck to move it.
Wow. And when did you get your first cell phone?
Probably about the same time, late 80s, early 90s.
Okay.
And again, a brick.
A brick. No Twitter feed. No blog. Do you use any personal online backup services?
Yes.
Good, good. What kind of smartphone do you have?
I have a Nokia right now.
Nokia, okay.
I also have a BlackBerry.
And number of apps on your Nokia?
I have no idea. Okay. I haven't counted them lately.
And do you have a tablet device too?
I do.
What kind?
XPS 10.
XPS 10. And are you active in any social networks?
No.
Okay. And last book you read, was it electronic or paper?
It was paper.
Well, Jeff, if you don't whoop him on this one, boy, you better go back to the job at McDonald's from high school or something here. When did you get your first PC there, Jeff?
Oh, it would have had to have been 1982.
82. Mm-hmm. And you got your first cell phone.
Oh, man. First cell phone. That had to have been the early 90s.
Early 90s. Okay. Mm-hmm. And do you have your own Twitter feed?
I do.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And do you have your own blog?
I do.
You
yeah.
do?
All
wow,
of them under Jeffrey Lush.
Okay.
Yeah.
And do you use any online personal backup?
No, I don't.
Okay. Me.
I do it all in-house.
What kind
I have my
of,
own
oh,
network infrastructure
I
running.
Make, so. I have my own. Yeah. I make my
with
own
off-site
car. Yeah.
recovery. Absolutely.
I don't have any tools. I make my own tools, my own saws. And what kind of smartphone do you have?
A Samsung.
Samsung. And how many apps on that bad boy?
A lot.
A lot. Well, you lost points on that answer, Buster. You sure did. What kind of tablet device do you have?
Of course, the Dell tablet.
Okay. And active any social networking sites?
Yeah, I mean, I do all of it. I have a YouTube channel and Twitter and LinkedIn and all of that stuff.
And the last book you read was electronic or paper?
Of course, it was electronic.
Well, I'm sure you're the card-carrying nerd in this room, my friend. No friends and no social life.
That's right. I don't even know the name of a sports team.
I don't know any sports team. Here's George golfing, going to baseball games, having fun. You're sitting home on your own little network that you
built. That's right. And if there's no technology associated with a sport,
nope.
I don't even watch it.
No baseball, no technology. I mean, with that. Well, speaking of sports, this studio broadcast some hockey matches, and there used to be actual crystal ball in here, and these guys would eat pizza and, I guess, throw the ball at each other because it's broken. George, I'm not going to hand you the ball. I'll hand you the figurative ball here. So where's Dell going to be in the next 5 years? Completely moved away from hardware, all services, a key part of the federal government? Or where do you think they're going to be in 5 years here, George?
Well, John, I appreciate the answer, the question. And if I had the answer, I wouldn't be here. I'd be in Vegas because I'd be really rich by now.
See, a nerd wouldn't, but you would.
He'd be.
He'd be in his basement still.
the really exciting part about our industry, yours, mine, and Jeff's, is it doesn't matter what format it takes. There's going to be technology around for a long time. The entire world's going to it. In fact, we're being exposed to it every day, even more so, whether it's healthcare, shopping, government services, media, you name it. So I'm pretty thrilled about the industry that we're in. What the government's going to have to do is we're going to have to figure out how to solve a $16 trillion deficit. And I believe our industry and technology is going to be a big, big part of that solution.
Jeff, let me toss the crystal ball to you. Where is Dell going to be in 5 years? And where do you think these problems going to be solved? Checkbox, massive troubles? Where's it heading?
Yeah, well, from a technology perspective, you know, it's great to see this transition over the last 5 years. Most of my children don't even know what an email account is, right? It's just text messaging and social media. And I think that trend, we share information today so easily. We can talk to people around the globe, video chat with them, all of these things. And so I think the future is going to hold this more, you know, have it your way type of technology, anytime, anywhere. And it's going to be a very customized environment to help us share and communicate.
George, I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to get you in big, big, big trouble. Tell me about Michael Dell. You know, if I were Michael Dell, I think I'd put up my feet and get a Cuban cigar and just, you know, have a good time and relax. But he's being aggressive. He's going after it, isn't he? He's looked at an opportunity and he said, no, I'm going to pursue this. I mean, if I had that, you know, success, and he did have early success, it's kind of hard to figure him out. But he's moving in this direction, isn't he?
Well, he is, and I think he's only like 19 years old, too, by the way. So,
well, now I've made up for anything you possibly could say about him.
No, if you think about what he's done, where he came from, how he built the company in his dorm room, the channel, the entire channel concept that he already had, what he wants to do now is take it to the next level, and we talked about it. In fact, I wrote down Jeff's comment, customization of the cloud. That's how Michael built Dell.
With hardware customization,
with the hardware,
right?
Now we're going to do that in the cloud, and I really like that analogy, and we're going to keep doing that. He's a very energetic guy. He's a hands-on guy. He's involved with our customers, our people, and our technology and what we do on an everyday basis, and that keeps him energized.
Technical question for you, Jeff. We see private clouds and public clouds and hybrid clouds and all kinds of flavor clouds. In fact, there's a derecho cloud that flows through town every now and then. More security challenges with these hybrid clouds or fewer? Or where is the security channel? Where do you see the biggest problems for security with the cloud?
Yeah, I think obviously when you put a whole bunch of information in a shared infrastructure, there's going to be security challenges, right? And then you just make it even worse when you put it as a public-facing service. So those challenges are real, and you know we're going to deal with those, and the industry is dealing with those quite well. And So you're more secure cloud, right? Microsoft said years ago the most secure network is one that's not connected to a wire, right? And so with cloud technology, you're more secure is going to be closer to home, right? As long as nobody's hitting it and coming into it, and then it we just add more security as we go along. I wouldn't classify it as less secure because it's multi-tenant. We just have to work a little harder to make sure it stays secure.
George, we had Red Hat in here a couple weeks back. They're very successful. Linux distributions everywhere. When I go to the Dell website, they work with they work with many different operating systems, many different vendors. They have this big picture of providing a service and not caring about the vendor type or flavor, do they? I mean, they're very open-ended in that regard, aren't they?
Yes, and it looks like, and I might get myself in trouble by saying it looks like there's a lot of people that are going that way as well. They would like that type of ability, capability, even more so as it is right now. Look, there's a lot of companies that have been very, very successful that were not open, and you know who they are, and so do I. But it looks like the world is opening up tremendously more in this capability. So, and we work, we're delighted to work with them.
Of course.
In this.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think it's interesting that Dell's positioning itself to me. I mean, I think Dell was used to offer Linux operating system on some of the machines years ago, and I thought that was very innovative and kind of risky, but they did it.
Dell's a huge, a lot of our systems come out of the factory with Red Hat and other types of Linux distros pre-configured on the systems.
That's a surprise. I never guessed that, but that's true.
Huge amount of business.
Yeah, I know a lot of business there.
Michael is very passionate about open source and Linux and all of those things because it's better for the consumer when we can drive down costs. Let's have a cloud environment or a compute environment where we drive costs down in the future, not up.
Great way to end the show. Driving Costs Down. We'll name the show that one. Driving Costs Down with Dell. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guests, George Newstrom, Vice President of Dell Services Public, and Jeff Lush, CTO of Dell Services Federal Government. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.